the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. The service has already wonderfully prepared us for this study, and it will be a continuation of that theme. In our series, Q&A with Jesus, we come this morning to a question that touches every single one of us at a very, very deep level. You see, we've already joked about this morning and celebrated the fact that we are very diverse. But in our amazing diversity, there are many similarities. We could take all morning to discuss those, but I want to focus this morning on some of the similarities that at first would appear very negative. For example, fear. Have any of you ever been afraid? Ever been concerned about certain circumstances or worried? How about discouragement? Have you ever felt like things were bad and perhaps getting worse? No. How about frustration? You can't live here without experiencing that one. How about anger? You ever really found yourself wondering why those who can do something about the situation don't? Well, all of these emotions, these feelings that all of us have felt, sometimes all together, the disciples were feeling all of those things when they called out their question to Jesus in the middle of a storm. Let's look at it together. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. It was read already at the beginning of the service, but it will do us well to look at it again. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Be still, quiet." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Even the wind and the waves obey him. Lord Jesus, we ask that as we come to study this passage this morning and attempt to understand it through our eyes and through our circumstances and through our wind and waves, we pray, Lord, that you would speak the same truth to us as you spoke to your disciples on that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Almost every single person has at some point in their lives asked this same question, or at least thought this same question. When we are in one of life's many storms that blow our way, then we too can't help but wonder at times, "Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care for the Hondurans? Don't you care for the Kurds? Don't you care for the refugees throughout the world? Don't you care for the victims of rape and incest and torture? Don't you care that people are threatened with agony and loss and horror and death? Don't you care that life circumstances are threatening to overwhelm us? Jesus, don't you care if we drown in the sea of suffering?" Fair question, and deserves an answer. And so let's look closely this morning at this story. Notice first of all in verse 35 that this story begins with a sovereign intention. That verse tells us that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side." Now this particular storm experience was not the result of the disciples being caught by their own stupidity. It was not the result of being in the wrong place at the wrong time or of reaping the results of a bad decision. Now many of the storms in our life are the results of those things. If we're honest to admit it, many of the things that we face that are troubles in life are the ultimate results of our own stupidity or wrongdoing or bad decisions. But this one wasn't. It was Jesus who suggested the boat trip. And so he was responsible. Isn't it strange that the very God who can prevent and or conquer storms is the one who often leads us right into them? Haven't you ever wondered about that? Now please be careful that you don't confuse the storm with Jesus. The storm is the enemy. The turbulence of life, of sin, of chaos, and of death is not God and it is not from God. But God will often lead us into it. Why? Because He has a sovereign intention. For reasons beyond our human understanding, God knows that many times the only way for some of us to learn some lessons, the only way for us to have our character strengthened, and the only way for us to discover who He really is for us to be caught in a life-threatening storm. I grew up in the Canadian Midwest, and because of my location there, I didn't know anything about monsoons or hurricanes or tidal waves. I never saw the ocean until I was older than 20 years of age. But I have endured blistering, frigid winter weather that claims lives that some of you have perhaps never experienced. Now, no matter what form the storm takes, it always is an interruption in our lives. It breaks the regular flow of life. It dishes out disaster. Verse 37 tells us that a furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. You ever been there? I'm not saying have you ever been to the Sea of Galilee or that particular storm. Have you ever been in a storm of life? Yeah, some of you are perhaps facing a stormy interruption right now in your lives, or you've recently gone through it. You know, everything seems fine until the announcement, until the pink slip, until the test results, until that phone call, until the accident, until the arrest, until the altercation. And then all you could see was wind and waves threatening the very life security on which you were built. You've been there. In times like that, our natural instinct is to call out to God. Somebody once said, there are no atheists in a foxhole. When we're in trouble, we don't call our bank manager. We don't call our stockbroker. We don't even call the president. When we are overwhelmed at the really big waves in life, there's only one place to go, and that's to God Himself. And so we come to Him, and we call to Him. And where do we find Him? Verse 38, Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke Him and said to Him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? In other words, what in the world are you doing sleeping when we are about to be destroyed? How is it that when we are in pain, when the world around us is swirling in danger, Jesus appears to be asleep, or on another phone line, or simply out of touch with us? If He cared, wouldn't He be fully alert? Wouldn't He be there bucket in hand, ready to bail water with us? Wouldn't He at least sit down and chew His nails, worrying with us? Where is He? Well, Jesus answered the disciples' fear-filled question, but before He provided a verbal response, He gave a visible one. Verse 39 tells us that He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, Quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Now, I know you've all been in one of life's storms. How many of you have ever been in a storm that Jesus calmed? How many of you have ever had a difficulty in your life and had God very obviously intervene and solve it? Can I see your hands? Stick them high. Okay, now if you've never been there, and you keep them high. If you've never been there, and if you wonder whether He can calm storms, look around and see who has their hand up. And go and ask them about it. When God gets involved in the storms of our life, we can call that a strategic interruption or a strategic interaction. Just this week I was reading in the October 14th issue of the Alliance Life magazine, a fascinating story. The whole issue was devoted to grief and suffering. And there was a story about a young Ecuadorian couple in one of the churches down in Ecuador. In their first year of marriage, the lady got pregnant. It turned out that all the tests indicated their baby was severely malformed with bad complications. To make matter worse, as the pregnancy progressed, the mother developed some very significant complications. They had to take the baby premature by C-section, and in the process, the wife and mother died on the operating table. And the baby that was pulled out, sure enough, the tests indicated that it was very, very severely deformed. The son went into the waiting room where the family was waiting and just was totally broken. He was ready to commit suicide. And his mother, who was a believer, his mother who was a Christian, said to him, "Don't you remember that Jesus could even raise the dead?" And this young guy, who wasn't even a professing Christian, said, "Jesus, if you're that same Jesus, you know I desperately need you today. Why don't you raise my wife from the dead?" Just after he prayed that, a brother who had gone to the room to pay his last respects to the dead wife came running into the room and he says, "You're not going to believe this, but," he says, "your wife's toe just twitched." And the young man, who was a doctor, said, "Well, that's very normal for a cadaver." But he went anyway back to the room and saw the toe twitch again. He ran over and pulled the sheet off his wife's body, and they hooked her back up to the machines, which had all gone blank. Make a long story short, she's living today. She's practicing medicine with her husband, and also both of them are doctors. And the baby somehow was miraculously healed and is completely healthy today. Now, many of you have had the Lord miraculously calm a storm in your life. That doesn't happen to everybody. I know there are some of you here who have gone through similar experiences and the person didn't rise from the dead and the baby wasn't healed. I know that. But we need to remember that Jesus does do that sometimes. You see, sometimes Jesus calms the storm. At other times, he calms his child in the midst of the storm. King David said in Psalm 71:20, "Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will again bring me up." And in Psalm 34:19, he declared, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." God didn't promise that we wouldn't experience suffering. He didn't promise that we would have a pain-free life, but he did promise to be with us in the midst of it and to walk us through to the other end. And so that, with that, I want to move to the meat of this story this morning, which is the significant interpretation. After Jesus' amazing show of supernatural power in calming that storm, the disciples realized in a fresh new way that Jesus was not just your average guy. I mean, if you were in the boat that day, you too would go, "Who is this? Who are we dealing with here? This is not just my friend from down the street." He talked to the winds and the waves as if they were his disobedient child. And they instantly obeyed him and calmed down when he issued the command. For that reason alone, dear friends, the storm was worth it. For that reason alone, just so those people's eyes would be open to see who he really was worth it. It helped them realize that Jesus had all power. It enabled them to see God in action on their behalf. It allowed them the joy of being rescued and the thrill of watching the Almighty in action. And building on that fresh recognition of who he was, Jesus then verbally answered the disciples' soul-stirring question. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, at first, Jesus' answer might look like he is completely out of touch with reality. I can almost hear the disciples murmuring to each other, "What does he mean? Why are we so afraid? Anybody with half a mind would be afraid in this circumstance, right? Anybody who's going through this would be tearing their hair out, biting their fingernails, churned up on the inside, wondering what in the world was going on. And he has the audacity to say, "Why are we afraid?" And no faith? This has nothing to do with faith, Jesus. It has everything to do with we're scared in the middle of a storm. And Jesus would say, "Mm-mm. It has everything to do with faith." Why? Dear friends, listen here. Faith is not some psych job that we give ourselves. Faith is not the result of a mental pep rally where we pump ourselves up to believe what we know isn't true. That's not faith. Faith is not optimism. Faith is not the power of positive thinking. Faith is not a nice religious feeling. Faith is this. Faith is hearing God's word, believing what he said, and acting in accordance. Hear it again. Faith is hearing God's word, believing it, and acting in accordance. You've heard it twice. I want you to say it with me. This may be one of the most important lessons you ever learn. Faith is hearing God's word, believing it, and acting in accordance. If you understand that and build that into your life, you will unlock unbelievable spiritual growth in your life. With that understanding, back up to the beginning of the story and hear what Jesus told them. In verse 35, it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.'" Now, where was Jesus planning to go? To the other side. Where did he say he was going? To the other side. Who did he say was going with him? "Let us go." He did not say, "Let us go die in the storm." He did not say, "I'm going to the other side, but I'm dropping you off halfway when things get a little rough." He said, "Let us go over to the other side." Now, dear friends, hear me. This is perhaps the most simple and most profound as it will ever get. If Jesus says he's going to the other side, take a wild guess where he's going. To the other side. And it doesn't matter if the wind howls and the waves crash against the boat. It doesn't matter if all hell breaks loose. If Jesus said he's going to the other side, then he's going to the other side. It's as simple as that. And if Jesus said, "I'm going with him," then I'm going with him. It has nothing to do whether I feel like it. It has nothing to do with how big the boat is. It has nothing to do with how much money I have or don't have. It has nothing to do with who I know or don't know. It has absolutely nothing to do with the size of the waves or the strength of the wind. If Jesus said it, it will be done. That's as simple as it gets. It's as simple as it gets. Do you believe that this morning? You hear it. Do you believe it? If you hear it and you believe it and act on it, that's what the Bible calls faith. If you haven't nailed down that truth in your soul, then when the storms of life come, and they will come, when they come, you will have nothing firm to hang on to. You will be tossed around like a cork on the open sea. But when you discover that the same one who created the wind and the waves has power over the wind and the waves, when you discover that this creator and manager of the universe has made clear promises about your life, when you discover that the all-powerful storm stopper has a plan for you that nothing can thwart, nothing, you will begin to live with a confidence that nothing can shake. Do you hear that this morning? Now, does this mean that Jesus will calm every storm and that we will never suffer loss? I didn't say that. Neither does God's Word say that. The Scripture in all life bears out the fact that we will all have to face trials and tribulation and suffering and loss. We will all experience pain and difficulty and persecution at one level or another. But please don't confuse the temporary troubles with the destiny. Don't lose sight of the promise that God said, "In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose in all things." James, that's why James said in James 1:2 and beyond, "Consider it pure joy, brothers, whenever you fall into trials of many kinds." Joy? Phillips version says, "Welcome them as friends." Welcome them as friends? Trials, waves, storms, yes. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Jesus has made it very clear, dear friends, where He's taking us. And I'm not just talking about heaven, although that is far more wonderful than we can conceive. Jesus also has a plan for our lives here. He has a plan for your life. A very specific plan for your life. And as you discover that from the Scriptures, as you hear His Word with the ears of your soul, as you believe it with your heart, as you act on it, you will be able to say with confidence to any storm that comes your way, no matter how intense, Jesus is taking me through this. We're going to the other side. May God make that real for you, even today. Lord, we pause here this morning to review this story, but not just the disciples' storm. We review our own storms. And Lord, every life here this morning knows its own storm, and it knows the waves. It can name them. It can name the details that are swirling around their life even right now. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters, as I pray for myself, that we, like the disciples of old, will not be so caught up in the winds and the waves that we forget that You are with us. It may appear like you're unconcerned and sleeping, but you're just confident because you know where you're going. And you're confident because you know where you're taking us. So Lord, we pray that we will be able to rest in Your confidence. You are obviously the One who has all power and all authority. We pray that we would tune our ears to hear Your voice, to know where it is that You're taking us, to be able to stand on Your promises and to believe what You have said. Lord Jesus, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of when those waves are lashing us and getting us wet and causing us turbulence, we do pray, Lord, for the calm that Your Spirit brings. We pray that Your ministry will be specific to those particularly who are going through very great trials, and that You would help us all to be able to walk in faith with You without fear, knowing for sure in the depths of our being that the One who called us is faithful and will also bring it to pass. The One who said He's going to the other side is faithful and will actually get us there. Enable us to know that, enable us to believe it, enable to act upon it today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. The closing song is a beautiful song of victory that reminds us that we can indeed walk with Christ in victory.